Oh, we gonna make it through the show today, girl.
You know we not. We ain't gonna make it through the show because I'm telling you, it's real. It's real. It is a real day. Oh my gosh. Every year, ma'am,
are 52 years old. Congratulations, girl. God bless you. Happy birthday.
Yes, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. I am looking down at the dirt and not up.
What's the motto? You said 52 and something, girl. We got the
girl 52. You know what to do in 52. Yes. You know what to do at 52. At this point in life,
you know what to do.
Yeah, there are just so many things that you know you learn along the way. But at 52, you know, I feel like I got it now. I think I got it.
I like that. 52, you know what to do. Because you know, this is the thing at 25 and 35 and 45 even. You know, some stuff you unsure of. You know, you're like, do I take this job or not? Do I move to this city or not? Do I marry this man or not? Do I have one more child? Sometimes in life, you just aren't sure what you need to do. But girl, when you said that 52 and you know what to do, I felt that in my toenails.
Girl, and when I tell you that I had been talking to a lady, I went on a very wild and crazy weekend. I went to Mexico, Cancun, Playa del Carmen, and I met a lady on the trip. She came with us, and she was 47 years old. And you know what she told me? I'm still waiting. She was still waiting for her Boaz. She still want kids.
47. Okay.
And I said, and so she had me all hemmed up talking about, you know, how do I get a man? How do I keep a man? You know, I said, number one, I'm gonna tell you the first thing. You better not tell that man, if you only like me and older than you, you better not tell that man you still want kids, because you already know he finna run for the
gone. He is gone.
I said, that's very noble of you. You know, sometimes you gotta be realistic.
You gonna make me pee on myself. You said that's noble of you.
Yeah, because I'm telling you, at 52, you know, there's some things in life. It's like, okay, girl, time has come and gone.
It's time to get to that. If you didn't do it then, it's, you know, at some point you got to let that shit go.
You got to let it go. And I'm telling you, I mean, if you didn't adopt or, you know, take in your sister's kids or somebody, you know, make them your own.
Get a dog.
Something. I mean, you set in your ways. 52. I mean, there's some things in life I'm just not gonna change. I'm not gonna do. I'm just not. I mean, I've done it all. I've given all, and I'm like, I definitely believe. I had to sit down in reflection. I'm like, everything is, you know. I tell you, I love PJ Morton's song. My peace is my peace. You know, if you try to mess with my peace, I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done with you. I even went through I do this yearly thing. I go through my phone and I think of all the people who I haven't talked to, haven't checked on me. You know, if I checked on you and you ain't responded, I got a little check mark next to them. Because in January, I'm done.
You going to delete them?
I just block them, or I don't even, you know, I block them. So I don't even get to see their messages every year.
Wow.
Boy, so many.
I usually delete them. And then I don't add the names back to the phone. So if they send me that, you know, a group Merry Christmas, Happy Birthday, Happy Easter, Happy Mother's Day text, I can see that they are still trying to correspond. I just don't respond. But I ain't went all the way to block them, team.
Well, I block them. I don't got time. Okay. You know, I mean, family members and all. Because you know what? Because you know, if you wanted to get a hold of me and you really need to get a hold of me, you're going to have to call my sister. If you know her and tell her, hey, you try to get a hold of me. But, you know, it's kind of one of those processes in life. It's, you know, you just got to remove a lot of stuff so that you can have that peace you need in your life. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, even my daughter, she want to call me on the toilet. No, I don't want to talk. Just because you got time right now, no me. And I say that in the most loving way. I mean, you got time right now, but when you don't have time, you're not answering, or you kind of, I'll call you back. When you got some time, because that's your peace right there. You need to sit down and relax. And I really, you know, that undivided attention is becoming a more important thing to me right now.
We'll have more on this topic, but now a word from our sponsor, BetterHelp. Give online therapy a try at betterhelp.com/Shaletta and start living your best life. Listen, as a mom who has 3 kids with special needs, I know it can get hard sometimes, and it's okay to feel stuck when things are not working for you. So whether you're struggling with trying to parent troubled children or you're having a hard time at work, the therapists at BetterHelp.com are here to help you figure out how to cope with difficult emotions and learn how to tackle life's challenges by going to BetterHelp. BetterHelp is affordable and online and easy to use. Just go to BetterHelp.com/Shaletta. That's Shaletta. Fill out a brief questionnaire and get matched with a therapist today. Y'all, it really is that simple. Just go to betterhelp.com/Shaletta to get started. And if you use that code Shaletta, you save 10% on your first month. That's betterhelp.com/Shaletta. BetterHelp.com/Shaletta.
And I
okay, tell me this. Mm-hmm. Tell me this. When did you have that discovery? Was it 52 or was it leading up to 52? And at 52, you just said, I know what to do. And you just start doing it.
It started at 50. So at 50, I knew what, you know, at 50, you know, we had this conversation. You know, I used to have, I won't say a filter. It used to be things that I was like, you know, I was always trying to be politically correct. But at 50, it just won't even stay in my mouth. It won't even
it just
fall out. It was I mean, work, family, you know, it's like no, mm-mm. And I'm okay with it, you know, and I understand people are gonna be who they're gonna be, and I'm gonna be who I'm gonna be.
Is that wisdom? Is that learned experience? Is that, you know, putting old things behind? Is that some grown woman stuff that just come over you? Yeah. I'm just trying to figure out because I'm just turning 50 and I feel it in my bones, but I don't know what it is.
It's, you know, that thing where you have to just put things in their place so that you can have that peace and that serenity that you just need. Yeah. And I think that's where it kind of comes from, is that when I, you know, started looking back at things that, you know, used to, you know, I like to go to happy hour, but I was always planning happy hour. And then everybody's like, girl, we ain't been to happy hour. And I'm like, well, plan it. I'll be there. And I kind of come to this point where, you know, hey, that ain't important to you. Then no, you ain't gonna plan it. And when I do it, don't ask me, oh, why you didn't invite me? You know, because I plan, I invite. You plan, you don't invite me. But then you want me to plan to invite you. So it kind of goes into this, you know, just kind of the art of putting things on the shelf that says, okay, that ain't important anymore.
Yeah.
And let me, you know, just, you know, shoot, I like, you know, the casino. I'm like an old lady. I like the casino. I like game shows.
Right. And you like things. You know, and it reminds me of that scripture, putting, you know, when I was a young man, I did young things. When I became an older man, I put away childish things. Mm-hmm. And, you know, as young people, you know, we want to impress, whether it is bosses or friends or whoever. We want to go all out to show you that we care. Mm-hmm. Or that we are capable. It's either can, when you that age, it's either I want you to know I care or I want you to know I'm capable. If it's relationships, it's friendships, it's family, I'm going to be going all out because I want you to know I care. Hey, over here, look at me, I care. Mm-hmm. If it's a boss, if it's a coworker, if it's, you know, a new client, you're like, hey, I'm going all out because I want you to see I'm capable. But girl, at a certain age, you like, go look at my resume.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Go look at this shit I already did for you. Or the company or the family. Mm-hmm. And if that ain't enough for you, I don't really know what to tell you.
Yeah. And I tell you, they don't care because, you know, you can work for companies for years and years and they'll let you go. And they forgot all about all that stuff you did. You can loan some family members some money and get them out of a bind. And when they get ready, when something good happened to them or they get coming to good fortune, they don't even remember.
Girl, don't say nothing.
Looking at don't you sideways nothing. From sideways from Tuesday, talking about, you know, like I, you know, like, hey, you know, you ain't, you know, I keep you in mind, you know, check on you, do this for you, but oh, you looking at me like I'm begging or I'm asking for something. I'm
about right. To girl, like,
let me let you make it.
Do you feel liberated? I mean, do you feel like you should have done this at 30, or do you feel like 50 is the time to?
Yeah, 50 was the time, because I don't think I had the luxury at 40, 35. I don't think I had that luxury, because, you know, when you have kids, it's kind of hard, you know, to say, you know, I'm not going to do this, because, you know, sometimes I'm going to need some parent to pick up my child because I need to go home and have me a vodka tonic. So right. I definitely, and you know, so it wasn't the time is now, I'm kind of at that place in life where, you know, either you with me, you're not, or either you come and you're not, you know, so I just don't get stressed. So I'm gonna tell you, my number one thing is I always wanted to make everybody feel like they had a good time. I spent all my life making sure everybody was happy. Are you okay? You know, making sure they was having some grand experience. And now I
remember even at your wedding, you was doing that at your wedding instead of us catering to you. Mm-hmm. You was catering to everybody else. How y'all doing? Y'all all right? Y'all need something? I was like, huh? I remember at your dad's funeral, the same. He was like, you got something to eat? Get something for your mama. Don't forget, is your daddy coming? Okay, well, take him a plate. Is your brother here? I was like, we're supposed to be here for you.
Yeah, and I think that's just who I am. I've probably always wanted to make sure everyone has this grand experience. But now I'm kind of like, I had to tell some friends. They was like, girl, you ought to plan this. I'm like, I said, you know what? I'm not the entertainment. that was, I'm not the entertainment. I'm not the entertainment. I said, you know what? And right now they probably still waiting for me to plan whatever they thought I was going to plan and do what I was going to do or fly out there and hang out with them so they can have some. And I go do stuff when I want to do it. And sometimes I even go to town. I ain't even called them. I ain't told them nothing. They don't even know I'm there. But they'll see a picture. They'll be like, girl, you was here?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure girl, was. I was there. And I ain't even trying to hide it. You know, when you're 25 and 30, you be like, girl, don't take no pictures. I don't want them to know I was here.
Don't be posting them right now. What? Wait till I get home. Mm-mm. Sometimes I just need for you to know, you know. And you need for you to know, I'm out here doing stuff and with or without you, you know. You can be here or you can not.
I gotta ask you this. They always do this, and they said, what would you tell your 25-year-old self? What would you tell your 26-year-old self if you was talking to 26-year-old Tina at 52-year-old Tina? What would you tell 26-year-old Tina?
Okay, you know, 52 is the flip of 25. So my 25-year-old self, I would have said, it really did not, you know, regardless of what you do in life, I was going to be successful. It didn't take a man or to have children or to have even education.
Yeah, I was going to be successful. You're gonna do it. Yes.
And I think that at 25, I felt like it was like a template of thinking that I had to graduate from high school, go to college, from college. You had to meet someone in college. You got to have, you know, 2.5 kids. You got to have the big house and you got to drive the nice car and you got to be a part of all these social things. And had I know at that point, because I followed that socialite part of my life, and then right now I'd be like, it don't matter, because I don't talk to those people anymore. I ain't married to that person no more. I don't live in that house anymore. I don't drive that car anymore. So it's like all those things that I was like, and I keep saying, was I doing that for other people or was I doing it for me? And I feel like a lot of things that I did, I didn't really do for me. I just did it because it was part of the process. You know, don't have a baby until after you get married, you know, and of course, you know, that's definitely the biblical thing to do. But it's like, you know, I didn't chastise anyone who did, but it was like, oh, no. That was something that would not happen. I was like, I got, you know, if I ain't married, I ain't having any kids. But now I look at my 40-year-old, 50-year-old friends, and they still waiting for that man to ride up on that horse, and, you know, and he ain't came.
Them ovaries is shot. The ovaries,
they gone. Shot. They gone. Opportunity missed. Now, granted, I think I had a great life. I lived single well. I lived married well. I lived single again well.
Yeah.
And I feel like I it was all gonna work out though. It was already part of a bigger plan.
Yeah.
And boom, you know, and I'm here. And so now I look back and I laugh and I be thinking about all those things I used to stress out about. My kids had to be at this school. They had to be in this club. Ooh. They had to be a part of this organization. He had to be he wanted to be on this team. She had to be doing that. You know, it was just all these things. Because other people kept saying, oh, in order for them to get to this college or do that, or you know, you had to do all these things. And I'm like, it didn't even matter because my kids, as academic as I am, they're all artists. You know, they're in the arts. You know, they got this, you know, passion driven type stuff. So they didn't even matter.
STEM, they ain't no STEM kids. They artistic kids. Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. They're artistic. So they didn't even think. So going into a 4-year school and saying I'm going to be an engineer or a doctor and all this other stuff, that wouldn't, you know, I could, I gave them the path for it. But, you know, at a point I realized they don't want that. They didn't want it at all.
Yeah. And I thought about all the money we wasted with Andrew in private school. Because they said, oh, he go to Second Baptist. Oh, well, you know, he over there at Second Baptist. Girl, the money on private school, the gas, the time to get there, because ain't no buses to private school. The uniforms, the fussing, all that. And public school is just as fine. I'm just like, Lord have mercy. Just as fine.
I remember in all these, you know, everything was, you know, you have to, your kids have to be in AP classes and they had to be a part of this big baccalaureate program that they had.
None of us.
I tell you, half my friends, by the time they kids, they were so stressed out by 10th grade, they dropped out of that program, still got into good schools. So, what's the point? Girl, we had us all stressed out. We had a girl give us a whole session about how to make our kids successful. And I was like, we did all this stuff. And my child said, I don't even like them kids. I don't want to hang around them. He like, I'm going to play football. He preferred to hang around the, you know, the janitor than hang around them kids half the time. So I was like, psh. So, you know, girls, so I said, my 52-year-old self tells my 25-year-old self, girl, you know what? It's going to all work out and you're going to have a grand life and it's going to be perfect. And the way God intended it to be, it was going to happen. Yeah. So all those things, they happened in order for me to get here. But regardless of what the circumstance was, I would have still got right here where I'm at. So
is there one thing that you would tell 26-year-old Tina to do differently?
Yeah, I would have probably said, follow your passion. Cause I had a passion that I never followed. I wanted to be a comedian, just like you. Look.
Girl, shut up! And you are so freaking funny.
I wanted to be a comedian. But you know what? I've never, ever stepped out on that limb. And even today, I still say, my cousin is still waiting for me to call him and say, I'm going to do that, you know, I'm going to do that 2-minute, you know, stand up.
Yes. Yeah.
Because they've got a whole bunch of places around here in Dallas. And he said, when are you going to do it? I'm like, I haven't done it yet. But, you know, one day you never know. I always thought I was funny. Most wittiest in school. You know.
Just your takes on life and how you can be so quick to respond.
Yeah, girl. And you remember all my jokes about my dog, girl. I got some dog stories.
The dog podcast. You could just do that. That's it. The dog story, girl.
I got enough dog stories.
If you don't do it, I'm going to do it.
Girl, because I'm telling you, my dad, girl, I live some dog stories going on in my life. So it's like kind of one of the things. My 25-year-old self would have been like, don't worry about, you know, all that, you know, trying to be successful in corporate America. Go do something that make you really, really happy. And, you know, and like I said, one day I might just be on a stage one day, even if I get my little 2 minutes of time, I'll do it at one point. But, you know, I feel like all my stories are too long. Everything is, it goes over the little 2-minute mark. So I got to refine it and then I'll be ready.
Would I give you 3 to 5 now? If the story's good, they don't shut you down. It used to be where back in the day, back in the day, they used to have a little light. And if you go over 2 minutes, they would flash the light on you. Yeah. But now it's 3 to 5. And if the story is good, they don't shut you down. So, girl, if you got up there and tell your dog story,
girl,
it's a wrap, girl. I'm going to tell you right now, it's a wrap, girl. Them dog stories are the truth.
Yeah, so that's it. So, girl, like I said, live life. And, girl, like I said, even at your 50-year-old self, you know what? All that stuff you're doing, do it. But don't feel like, oh, my gosh, the world is going to, you know, make it. Yeah. Not doing it is going to change some course on your life. It's not, it ain't.
And you know, I look at how you know, the kids and the autism and all this other stuff, and I think about, oh my God, if I had done this, you know, would we be here? If I had done this, would we be there? And I just thought about it the other day. Everything that I prayed for when I was a young woman, you know, God is working out now at 50. Yeah. And, you know, I might have flamed out
if
I had done it at 30 or 25. Mm-hmm. You know, it might have taken, you know, for some people, they can handle that at 25 and 30. I couldn't have. I would have been snorting cocaine and all over the internet with booty meat hanging out everywhere and giving
on some pole over there swinging around.
Girl, babies for everybody. Russell Simmons and Biggie Smalls and everybody mm-hmm. else. I'd have babies for all the homeboys. So, you know, mm-hmm. I think the Lord, you know, knows when to, you know, just kind of put us in the shadows and hide mm-hmm. us until it's time, you know, for our true glory and our destiny to mm-hmm. be revealed. And you are absolutely right. No matter what happens, whether the kids have autism or you get divorced or you move from one state to the other, whatever God has for you, that success is going to find its way to you.
You know, when they say your steps are ordered, they're already ordered. Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. I mean, everything was already set in stone already. And I wish I had lived by those words. You know, I knew those words, but I never, you know, I knew that, you know, but I feel, you know, you feel like I'm going to change the course and I'm going to make it quicker. I'm going to get there the way I know I'm supposed to be. But you know what? All of that, I ended up at the exact same spot where I was supposed to be.
but this is the thing. Now, at 25, 26, I don't know about you, but I was so hard-headed, nobody could have advised me on that. Could mm-hmm. somebody have told you that and you really received it in your spirit and live by it?
You know what? Even if they would have told me, I would have thought, you know, I am. I'm walking in the path that was designed for me. I would think I was doing it, even though I feel like I was making some of the choices that I probably should not have. And maybe I'm thinking it's short, making my journey shorter. But it definitely, you know, took me off course and brought me back. But
yeah,
I always felt like I was. But then I look back and I'm like, you really wasn't, girl. You know, I did some things that I was like, you know, dang on well, you weren't even supposed to be doing that and you weren't supposed to be there. And, mm-hmm. you know, but, you know, it happened the way it did. And, you know, because, you know, like, you know, I was set against having children. I wasn't going to have any kids. Well, you know, God said, let me tell you something. You forgot that pill that one day.
Oop. And I got you, girl.
And I got you.
I got you. And that's so funny that you said that because, you know, we think we doing something and we think we're going to speed it up or we're going to slow it down or we're going to move around. Like, we moved to Cincinnati and we were there for a year. I hated Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. I was like, what the hell are we doing here? I couldn't prosper on my job. Andrew had trouble in school. Sean got laid off. And we were sitting in Cincinnati in a townhome, no family, no friends. Mm-hmm. I mean, we hated where we were. And I was like, we should never have been here. But I believe in my spirit that we had to get away from Minnesota and come back for people to miss us and appreciate mm-hmm. us because they were not appreciating mm-hmm. Our contribution that we were making. And so mm-hmm. once we left and came back, they were like, oh my God, you're back. We missed you so much. Well, they didn't miss us while we were
here. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know?
But you know, that's just so true. It's because, you know, you always wonder, oh my gosh, I leave my family. Because, you know, our family tell us, don't leave. We're going to be the ones taking care of you and your kids. And, you know, you don't want strange people watching your kids. And who, you know, especially when we move into what they would consider, oh, that, you know, you ain't got enough family around there. You ain't got no, you know, no one who knows you. And mm-hmm. you know what? I feel like I had more family when I was living in Colorado. Who were more like family, people who would be like, leave a job, come pick up my kids in the snow.
And I
was like, I'm like, I can just imagine my brother like, girl, I ain't going over there.
I ain't gonna put them kids. Put them on the bus. Metro.
Yeah, talking about them kids. Yeah, you shouldn't have moved out there, you know.
Right. Them ain't my kids. Girl, and that's so true because, you know, I remember leaving Texas to move to Minnesota, and I remember everybody crying and upset. You need to stay here, and we're going to do
this. We're going to help you.
Girl, they ain't going to help
you. They wasn't going to help you, girl.
Nothing.
I always tell them, strangers help me more sometimes than my own family.
Yeah.
So, you know, so I'm, you know, I figured, It all happened. And I had to break out because so the reason why you broke out and left and went somewhere is so your family could know that there's another place outside
of Houston, Texas. Another world outside of Houston. And you know what gave me the courage to do it is because I saw you do it.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, and I left. Do some you can't see done before successfully. I never seen anything like that. Everybody we know still in Houston.
Yeah, and when I tell you every day, I would be like, I'm moving back to Houston. I mean, for 2 years, I knew that at the 2 year mark, I was going back to Houston. I was leaving this place. This was just a stepping stone to get where we needed to be. And girl, when 2 years came around, they were like, "Were you moving?" I'm like, "Hey, planted some seeds. I was there." You know,
you got to go where your seed is. You got to
and it was almost like I wanted to see what's going to be the outcome. I made some friends. I had some people that I could, you know,
hang out with. You know, little piece of job.
Yeah. And then all of a sudden I was like, I ain't leaving. 5 years went by. They said, you know, 10 years you've been here. I was there 20 years. And there was no way you would have told me I would have lived in Colorado for 20 years.
Successfully.
Yeah. And I left on my own terms too.
Yeah. And that's the thing. You don't even realize that you are being an example for other people. Seriously. Like I didn't know anybody who had left, like picked up and moved and had a family in another city who was from Houston, because people in Houston love Houston so much they stay there forever. And I was just like, I mean Tina did it, you know, that's all I kept saying to myself is that you did it. And you know, you didn't have any base, no cousins, no aunties, no uncles, no nothing. You just started all over from scratch. But the good thing about that is that makes you available to God to do something new and different.
Yep. You know, and you know what? And I got to tell you, that's when I served best and most was when I lived away, because you know, that my church family was, you know, a very big part of my life.
That's your anchor.
Girl, if I was in Houston, girl, I was Catholic. Girl, with all this drama that was going on in the Catholic church, I'm pretty sure I probably would.
You was come do your thing and check.
I would have been a CME. I would have been the CME. One person at church anyway, so you know, but that gave me something that anchored me and, you know, helped me be part of ministries and be a part of, you know, a lot of different groups that, you know, I never thought that, you know, I led the marriage ministry. I was over the marriage ministry.
Yeah, you wouldn't have done
my spouse. Girl,
you'd have had stuff to do, you'd have places to be, those obligations. Mm-hmm. And it's so funny because my uncle came to visit us this past weekend. And we were just so busy, just running. And I could tell that he had gotten tired and kind of dizzy. And I said, you know, that's why I tell our family in Houston, don't call me with no bullshit. Because we a lot going on up here.
Yeah.
And I can't deal with the drama or any of the extra. Mm-hmm. So leave us be. He was like, you know, you couldn't do this in Houston. And like you were saying, planting seed, God has a space for us. Mm-hmm. And we can plant the seed, but if it's not in the wrong farm, if it's not on the wrong land, if it's in the wrong spot, it's not gonna grow. Had to go to Colorado because you had Colorado seeds. I had to come to Minnesota. I had Minnesota seeds, and like you said, it is all going to work out. Girl, we need to send this podcast to every sorority.
So
these young women can listen to this to let them know it's all going to work out.
Yeah, and I would really, really wish, you know, had I been, you know, a different person. All my friends who said I'm waiting and my career is so much more important than a relationship or whatever it was that they let fall by the side, whether it be family or, you know, a significant other. You know what? That job. They got COVID didn't happen. They didn't have, you know, jobs that said, you know, we were downsizing, we're, you know, we reorging. And you know what? They did all that. And, you know, and it's like only for them to go start their own business. You know,
right. Some shit they could have done 10 years ago.
Yeah. So it's like, you know, I was like, you should have let that go. Cause I'm telling you, you know, where you think and the mindset that you have, you know what, just, you know, step out on faith.
Amen. All right, girl. Well, I had so much fun chatting with you.
Yeah, I do. Always. Thank you so much. Thank you so much.
You know what to do, baby. That's a sermon. Read it.
You deserve more internet than what you get from just your cell phone. Get free high-speed internet at home, a $29.95 value, when you qualify for Internet Essentials Plus and the Affordable Connectivity Program. Enjoy more streaming, gaming, and video chatting on more devices for free. With unlimited data and a wireless gateway included at no extra cost. No fees, no taxes, and no annual contract. Connect to more of what you love for free with Xfinity and the Affordable Connectivity Program. Click, call, or visit a store to learn more.
When my daughter was first diagnosed with autism, I didn't know what to do because I knew she qualified for services and resources for people with disabilities. But trying to figure out how to manage everything was overwhelming. So I turned to the folks at Acra Home Care for help because for 30 years, they've helped families like mine and provided self-guided personal care assistance services and financial management assistance for their developmentally delayed and elderly loved ones. The folks at Acra helped us get a fence so my daughter could play outside in the backyard safely and even showed me how to use the resources to get a trampoline. And that's just a couple of the things that Acra Home Care does. Whether it's assisted living, mental health, or home health care, they've got you covered. Acra will make sure your loved ones who need services actually get it. Go to their website at acrahomecare.org or give them a call at 952-935-3515.
Did you know that United Healthcare helps connect you to doctors and therapists with 24/7 access to virtual care?
So I could have therapy from my couch?
Yep.
Or a doctor appointment from my car?
If you wanted to.
Wait, you're right. I don't even like when people see me sing in the car. Couch appointment it is.
Virtual visits are just one of the ways United Healthcare helps connect you to better health. Learn more at uhc.com. Plan benefits may vary.
You started your business with big dreams and big ideas. But achieving your goals is a matter of doing the little things right. At Bremer Bank, we're ready to help you navigate all the details, questions, and challenges you encounter on your way to growth and success. Because right now, relationships matter more than ever. And understanding is everything. Find out more at bremer.com.
It's never too late to set the stage for well-being. Here's your well-being tip of the day from YMCA of the North. Put mindfulness in your tool belt. Mindfulness is a method of paying attention and bringing awareness to whatever is happening at the moment. Be open to the idea of being present and honest with yourself. Observe what's happening rather than trying to control what's happening. We reduce our stress, anxiety, and negative emotions when observing rather than get overly flustered in our reactions. For more well-being tips, meditation, and yoga classes, visit us at ymcanorth.org/well-being.
At General Mills, our table is your table, and we believe racial equity, diversity, and inclusion are key ingredients for our success. Learn more about our work to inspire change at generalmills.com/racial equity.